Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for speaking to us in all the ways, the sights and sounds. And we ask you, Lord, today you'll speak to us in this time. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our series that we're going to be doing this month at 9:30 is Creation is for Real. Why at this time? Well, we're looking at beginnings. We're looking at the whole story. As someone said the other day, history is his story. And when you look at things and the importance of time and the importance of how things fit together, it all fits together as a whole. I have some questions I want to ask you today about creation. I want you to engage with the questions and be honest now. I've given everyone a, make sure if you don't have one of these, pass these back for anybody else that doesn't have one of these sheets. What I want you to write on that today, and at the end, you can just come up here and sit it right here on the step, and I'll get it. But I really want to hear from you on this. Is there a subject about creation, a particular item about creation, a question you have? I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm not going to be able to answer all your questions because not experts here on this, but we'd like to try to address some of the things. I put it to you this way. I've got this much material that I'm going to do in this much time. So one of the things I don't want to do is to drag out more snakes than I can kill. And not say that, that you know, all the questions don't deserve it. Yes, they do. But I'd like to hear from you. The things that that you have wondered about, doesn't make sense to you in creation. And the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. I'm talking about the concept of creation. Concept of creation, you know, if you want to call it creationism, which is what is the secular terminology, if you want to Google that is the designation, that's the way they have chosen to section off this discussion that we're going to have about creation, okay? So write that down on there, and we're going to ask some questions today, and because I really want to see where you are on this. First question, why do you think that the doctrine of creation is so important? Everything so far, I just want to let y'all know, everything you've said, every statement you've made so far is charged. That key word, design, that's a good word. Beth? See, we've already gotten to biogenetics, and we're only five people deep in this. Intention, purpose, fallen world. That's another one. Carol? All right, now hold all of that. Got all that. Same question. How does your belief about this subject affect the rest of what you believe? We've already gotten into this a little bit. How does your belief about creation affect the rest of what you believe? You know, and Artie's gone down that road of the like when you're debating, you know, the philosophical foundation of something, then there's implications to that, which then makes you look at all the things that people write and their speeches and their lectures. And, you know, books they've written, articles, journal article, and let's, well, why are they writing on that? We get back to this. Somebody over here. Russell. How's this affect the rest of what you believe? Very good, Russell. Making us think. Interesting. Do you feel shifting sand a lot of times? All right. Third question. Why have the not God believers. Note, I'm kind of mixing my metaphors here, but not God believers attack this doctrine so violently. Now, a little background for maybe the couple of you that haven't been with us. We've had this teaching for a long time. It's kind of the way we set things up, you know, essentially for so many things in our life, you know, well, all the things in our lives, we can set up, here's God's intention. Here's God, and then not God, that which opposes Him. And we use this phrase, not God, to kind of collect all that thought, all that, you know, world, the flesh, the devil, you know, that is against God, raised to my standard example, you know, little rocket man over there in North Korea. What in the world has he got against Jews? He's never met one, most probably, or he could count on one hand the number he's met. So something is at work that's underneath his belief system, the way he looks at the world, that's driving him to conclusions about things that puts him in a camp. I mean, if ever there's a person that looked like a puppet in the world, it's Little Rocket Man. I mean, he's just like, you know, the marionettes, you know. He's playing out the little thing on the string. You know, moving the next thing. So, God, not God. So, a little background on that. So, the not God believers, you know, we get this rap all the time about, well, you are the believers. But, they say, everybody believes in something. What are you putting your trust in? Yeah, you're, Carl Sagan had faith in whom? Carl Sagan. If you didn't believe it, ask him. Listen to him. Go back and listen to him. Listen to what he said over and over and over again about his belief system, about what everything. And so, my question, why have the not God believers attacked this doctrine so violently? Then just public school that teaches teaches that. That's what's the word y'all are talking about that kind of combines all this? We studied this before. Worldview. It is. Well, let's just take something and what Paul just said and see how it you can go to that, okay? You take creation out. Man struck in God's image. Take that out. What does that do to the view of the sanctity of life? Who's making the decision in that, what Bethy just said? Man's decided that this life is more valuable than this life. Is that happening in our world today, by the way? I mean, you can, I can extrapolate and make some of those cases here in the U.S., but why do that when all I've got to do is go to Europe and we see it in its finest form? We see governments practicing euthanasia, essentially.
Genocide.
And genocide, oh man, we hadn't even gone to that. We hadn't even talked about the macro of that. Genocide, I mean, you. Let's go to Hitler. Let's go to Stalin. I mean, Stalin executed, murdered, you know, multiplied times more. That's that we know about. 20 million. And it happened. The 6 or 6.5 million Jews, and at the hands of a country that was at the tip top of the food chain. We're not talking about, you know, an uneducated, not Genghis Khan was uneducated. But an uneducated, I didn't want you to get sidetracked with my analogy there, an uneducated Genghis Khan type mentality, just go through and more. Now, we're talking about the artists of the world, the musicians of the world, the educated, the theologians of the world. 9 out of 10 of the what would have been considered the greatest theologians in the world in the 19th century, guess what national origin they were? German. They sat by and watched it happen. Somebody give me the Bonhoeffer quote. Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote. Come on. Somebody give me the quote. And that ends up, when, and they came for me. Come on. Come on. Give it to me. Somebody. All right, Gail. Stand up. And they came for, and what happened? There's nobody left. They came for the crippled. I said nothing. They came for the Catholics. I said nothing. They came for the Jews. I said nothing. Down the line. It came from me. There was no one left to say anything. Now, I really have a lot of respect for Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer got out of Germany as things heated up. He was in the United States. He could have sat here with a professorship, writing books, and riding the tide. He could have gone all, he would have been a wealthy man right on into the 50s and 60s if God let him live that long. But what did Dietrich Bonhoeffer choose to do? He went back into the very teeth of one of the most evil men and evil systems that's ever been on this planet. I say that to you as we make application from Paul's statement a moment ago, is you see how the foundations of things and just theologically, you look at how they denigrated the Word of God in the 19th century, and they set the stage to distance themselves from the Bible and its truth in the 20th century. And by that time, you're unarmed. You've gone to a gunfight with a knife, and you're not ready with the truth. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about in here, is truth, and not just accepting something from somebody just because they have PhD, as behind their name. I know a lot of idiot PhDs that couldn't fight themselves out of a wet paper bag. No, it's a professional hardware dealer. That's what Frank DeCecilia, who was the founder and owner of Maycrest Hardware on Montgomery Crossroads. That little detail of information y'all probably didn't need, but from my childhood. Where did they get that idea, by the way? Where do we get that idea about us replacing ourselves?
In the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden. And give me the storyline of how that idea was hatched in the garden. The little G. Say it loudly, Beck. All right. We're gonna get back to that, but I need to correct somebody. Donnie. Don't make a bad name for all of us. Because I know how you are. You'll put the grappling hooks out and try to drag all of us into your madness. And we're not that stupid. Sometimes. That's why men need each other. Okay. Teresa. So you have a lesson in the garden that we get at the end of the Revelation that says, don't add or subtract. Okay. You know, all of this, Bethy, out of context. I mean, somebody could take what Donnie just said a moment ago out of context altogether. Metaphors, symbolism. You know, Bobby, say, hey, Bobby. Bobby, I want you to talk like Satan again.
I'm not very qualified.
But you did a real good job.
Not really.
There you go. In my mind, as I interpret the Hebrew, that is exactly not only what he said, but how he said it. You done quit preaching and gone to meddling. Now you're messing in our stuff. This is supposed to be a talk about creation, that we've got this intellectual thing out here to the side we can talk about. We're not talking about stuff that matters in our daily lives. Come on. Do you get it? Can you see how everything is affected? And then, you know, how do you get rid of a lie? You tell the truth. Think of this for just a second. If you've set yourself up, you're the one making the call. You're in control of things. Driver's seat. We're looking at that. Then, but what would make you think that somebody needs to be in that place? You see, the not God believers, one of the things that we attribute to them that is not true is that they don't observe some truth, or maybe even all truth. It's just their response to that truth. That's what you're getting at. That they said, no. That's not the interpretation that I'm looking for in my life. In the West, what are we looking for? We're looking for the life. We're looking for the job, the church, the everything that will fit into my view of the way I want life to be. Do you understand? You follow me with that? We're looking for all these pieces to fit in. This is the idea that I've got, you know, all the old self-actualization, hierarchy of need, all that pinnacle bingo bango up there at the top that pushes. And listen, there's an element of truth in some of that. But when you take it, go to seed with it, it puts a person in charge that was never designed to be in charge. Open your Bibles. We'll conclude with this. Terry's already spoken it. Genesis 1:1. I think I was trying to quote in that this phrase, have lightning in one of those Running Bear in one of those Clint Eastwood movies. But the phrase that begins our Bible is, in the beginning, God. I'm going to leave you with this today, and I want to get those sheets from you. If you just have a subject, something you think would be, you know, question you have, or something you think, hey, let's go down this hallway. Because like I said, use Elohim there, because why? Let us. And by the way, I'm going to get this out of the way now. That's how you know that God was a baseball fan before it was even invented. In the big inning. I did all of this to funnel down to get to that one that I wanted. I was trying to get it in there some way. And Dane accuses me of that all the time. He said, you build a sermon around a story sometime. I know you do that. A trade. All right. In the beginning, God. If you take that and the logical assumptions that come from that, say, in the beginning, not a phrase being applied to God, but we're talking about our story, not Him. He's Alpha and Omega, first and last, because then when you say, in the beginning, God, the definition of God presupposes the definition of in the beginning, right? Because once you introduce God into the scenario, you've got someone in the scenario, He's creator of all. He even created time. That's one of the things that Chuck Missler does a real good job with. He talks all the time, uses this phrase, outside of time. And then I'll go and make the point. And y'all have heard me say it many times. God created time. So time is His creature. You know, and to think in a linear fashion, bingo, you know, come on. I guess I need to do it this way for y'all. Linear fashion, come. Then we start to see such doctrines like, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and all the implication of that, how then that the cross becomes the centerpiece of history that then casts light to and makes creation understandable. Do you get it? Do you see that? Because, see, time is God's creation. In the beginning, God. Now, God can do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do it, and however He wants to do it, and with whomever He wants to do it, right? Why can He do that? Because He's God. God, by definition. This isn't rocket science. We're going to approach science. We're going to talk about scientific method. We're going to take a little brief tour, talk about some dinosaurs along the way. We're going to talk about theories of creation. We're going to talk about foundation of the Word of God. Screwtape Letters. C.S. Lewis. Great book. Let you know about Satan's tactics, about how to do that. God, in the beginning. Does that phrase have lightning? You better believe it does. For everything we do, God by definition. You know, He breathed. And man became what? A living soul. Life. He breathed. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for speaking to us and through us. And for this discussion we've been able to have today. I thank you for all the ways in which you're going to bear fruit, Lord. Lord, I believe some of us are going to have this very discussion with somebody this week. Lord, let us be instant in season and out of season. Let us be ready. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.